From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Hurricane Lenny kills three people as it strengthens into a maximum strength hurricane. Will President Castro heed more frequent calls for democracy? And Liat is criticized at a tourism expo in London. I'm Jessica Robertson, and this is BBC Caribbean Report.
Weather conditions will continue to worsen over the warning area. Maximum sustained winds have increased to near 150 miles per hour, with higher gusts, especially over unprotected south and west-facing harbors. Lenny is very close to being a Category 5 hurricane on the Saffir-Simpson hurricane scale.
That recording from the National Hurricane Center in Miami, taken a short while ago. Hurricane Lenny continues to strengthen, posing an even bigger threat to the chain of islands in the northeastern Caribbean that lie in its path. According to the Hurricane Center, islands right across the chain are bracing themselves.
A hurricane warning remains in effect for Puerto Rico and the U.S. and British Virgin Islands. Hurricane warning is also in effect for Dutch St. Martin, French St. Martin, St. Bartholomew, Anguilla, Saba, St. Eustatius, St. Kitts, Nevis, Montserrat, Antigua, and Barbuda. The hurricane warning for mainland Puerto Rico, not including Vieques and Culebra, may be downgraded later today if the hurricane continues on a northeast track. At 3 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, 1900 Z, the eye of Hurricane Lenny was located by plane and radar near latitude 17.5 north, longitude 64.7 west, just to the south of St. Croix. Lenny is moving toward the northeast near 12 miles per hour, or a little bit slower. On this track, the core of powerful Hurricane Lenny will be crossing the warning area later today.
And with it will come, according to the center, life-threatening floods and mudslides. Coastal areas will be battered by high waves. Rukman Maharaj reports on preparations being made in the islands under threat.
Hurricane Lenny has so far taken three lives. Two fishermen drowned off the coast of Colombia, and a man in Puerto Rico fell to his death while trying to prepare for the storm. In Puerto Rico, 100,000 residents are without water and electricity. Highways in the eastern part of the island have been closed, and a number of dams have been opened to help relieve the flooding. The island is still under flash flood watch until 4 p.m. Two islands to the north of Puerto Rico, Culebra and Vieques, are without water and electricity as well. A curfew has been imposed in St. Martin as of midday today until further notice. Lenny is expected to hit the island around midnight. On Montserrat, the rebuilding process is ongoing, but the hurricane shutters are up. People who live in buildings without such protection are being encouraged to move into hurricane shelters. While in the U.S. Virgin Islands, Governor Charles Turnbull has declared a state of emergency from 9 p.m. to prevent looting, and the National Guard has been placed on alert. In St. Croix, there is already heavy flooding and the airport closed at 6 p.m., and in St. Thomas, the airport closed at 10 p.m. And American Airlines has also taken the precaution of cancelling flights in and out of Antigua. The director of the National Office of Disaster Preparedness, Fillmore Mullen, noted that there is a shortage of plastic sheeting to place over roofs and windows on the island. The director commented that the organization's supply was used up during Jose, the last hurricane to hit the island.
That report by Rukman Maharaj. Journalist John Griot joins us now live from St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. John, are people there ready for this monster storm?
In general, Jessica, residents of the United States Virgin Islands heeded the warnings that were issued by both the National Hurricane Center in Florida earlier this weekend by state government officials here in the territory in the last 24 to 36 hours. Generally, I would say the persons were ready. They stocked up on the necessary supplies that would be needed to take them through the aftermath of a hurricane. As you now know, St. Croix suffered the greatest brunt of the storm with winds that exceeded the 135 to 140 mile an hour range during the day today, and torrential rainfall that started early this morning and has left the western town of Frederickstead under significant rainfall through the course of the day today.
John, how much of a concern is that amount of rain?
The grounds in both the U.S., British Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico had already been saturated by showers and thundershowers that rolled through the region in the most recent weeks, and therefore the great volume, the greatest concentration of shower activity associated with Hurricane Lenny posed the threat to the island. Some 10 to 15 inches of rainfall on top of already saturated grounds is a great concern, and it played out today when the torrential rainfall began on St. Croix, which, as I mentioned before, remains underwater tonight.
John Griot joining us live from St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. You're listening to BBC Caribbean Report. The Ibero-American Summit in Cuba has ended with a series of appeals for democracy and human rights on that island. One of the most forthright appeals came from the Mexican president, Ernesto Zedillo, who said Cubans had the right to give opinions and the freedom to meet to dissent and to choose. His comments were backed up by the Panamanian president. But President Castro stood firm against the appeals, saying his socialist system was not for changing. The calls for reform have become stronger and more frequent. Will they chip away at President Castro's grip on power? And will he stop giving visitors the opportunity to make them publicly? Those are some of the questions addressed by our Havana correspondent, Tom Gibb.
Gradually, people have pushed the bounds of what they do while they're on the island, and certainly it's the first time that visiting heads of state have met dissidents and then called fairly directly for their views to be respected. However, all of the language, while it was direct, it was also fairly polite, and none of them actually said Cuba in their comments. They were talking generically, although it was very clear that their comments referred to Cuba. So, I mean, I think that Fidel Castro will be able to weather it, and certainly I don't see any evidence of him changing his point of view within Cuba. As he said at the beginning, he's been listening to this kind of advice for a very long time. He referred back to the first summit 9 years ago, and he said that he decided then that he wasn't going to give in to these people pushing for what he called the impossible task of convincing Cuba to give up socialism and the revolution.
So really, President Castro is doing nothing more than humoring them.
I don't actually think that things will change because of these particular visitors, because the whole equation as to what changes and what doesn't in Cuba has much more to do with the attitude of the United States towards the island. And certainly the whole focus of the Cuban government is towards what's happening in Washington.
Given that, do you think that this summit, which has just ended, was a good one for President Castro and the ongoing propaganda battle with the United States?
I think so. I think the images of him hosting the King of Spain and all the other international leaders, and while they criticized the lack of democracy on the island, they also came out fairly strongly talking against the U.S. embargo and made it very clear that they will continue with a policy of constructive engagement towards the island and continue to encourage investment from their countries towards Cuba. So I think that in those terms, the Cubans can use those as quite powerful arguments, both on the island itself and internationally, that U.S. attempts to isolate Castro haven't worked.
Tom Gibb speaking from Havana. The debt problems of LIAT weren't far from the minds of Caribbean tourism officials today as they continued to make their pitches at the World Travel Market in London. Grenada's Information Minister Jocelyn Whiteman, who's in London for the market, criticized the airline, saying it has to be run in a more business-like manner. LIAT's annual losses are $13 million EC dollars, and it's deep in debt to several Caribbean governments. British airline consultants have recommended sending home a fifth of its staff, cutting its fleet and scrapping some routes. The chairman of Air Jamaica, Butch Stewart, purchased that airline and turned its fortunes around. I spoke with him by telephone on his way to the travel market.
I think history has shown that governments cannot run airlines. They can't run too many things more than governments itself. So, you know, there's nothing new with that. I mean, I sympathize with that because there are a lot of good people in it. But as long as it's government that's providing the direction and the policies and the day-to-day activities, it's not going to work.
Now, you were able to turn Air Jamaica around. In your opinion, what is LIAT not doing right?
My love, I wouldn't know where to start. Well, all I can tell you is that government will never be able to do anything right to run an airline. When I had Air Jamaica, they couldn't even clean the plane. When you go to check-in, all the computer terminals didn't work. The floors are filthy. You put your baggage on the conveyor belt, to go outside to the plane. They end up on tarmac that's melted and nasty. You buy a brand new suitcase, and by the time you get it at the other side, you think it's a 20-year-old bag. It's just that way. There's no service industry that government has ever succeeded in, especially these days where private enterprise puts so much emphasis on service. The gap gets wider and wider. Not only that, with government, every cousin, sister, aunt is in line for employment. Private enterprise has their caps. There's an efficient level, and there's criteria for employment. When it's government, it's who knows who, and you keep this one happy and that one happy, and that's how the train goes, but it doesn't work well for business.
Well, the consultants looking into LEAT recommend a 20% staff cut and cuts to the fleet. Would you do things differently?
There's only one way it can work. Privatize it. Turn it over to the staff and find some leaders. Make them put some money in it and run a good airline.
Gordon Butch Stewart. And as we heard, Grenada's Jocelyn Whiteman has also criticized the way in which LEAT is run.
Well, I must say I have to agree with Mr. Stewart totally. Quite obviously, it is sad to see the state of affairs in LEAT today. I think LEAT have had many, many years to get their act together. And rather than getting it together, I must say, it appears to be going from one stage to the next. And as a result, in the interest of the people wanting to travel throughout the islands, something must be done, and something must be done quickly. So quite obviously, I've learned from Air Jamaica that they have a subsidiary company referred to as the Eastern Caribbean Express, which was launched at the World Travel Market. And of course, I think competition is healthy. It is a private company. It is not run by a government. And as a result, I think that should do well. What LEAT should do, let's say a long time ago, is hand the operation to private enterprise. So at least they can get the act together and run it in such a manner that they can start showing a profit.
So, Minister, do you say then that in getting its act together, do you mean you endorse the Speedwind recommendations of staff cuts and cutting the fleet?
Well, of course, they have had their recommendations made to them some time ago. But it's a matter of enforcing the recommendations. If they were to enforce the recommendations, there is a possibility
Do you endorse them?
Well, as a matter of fact, some of the recommendations, I think, are highly recommended. But at least whether or not we endorse 100% of the report, there are parts of it that I think should be implemented in order to get LEAT on the right footing.
Do you detect the political will to make those hard choices?
Do we have a choice? We live in a world today where there are no free lunches. You have to do what's right. Where is the income or the revenue going to come from to keep LEAT flying? They have to run LEAT as a business. And once they start generating revenue, then they can keep going.
Is this the favored option of the Grenada government?
Well, as far as we're concerned, we've done just as much as we can in an effort to assist LEAT. And I think as far as in government are concerned, LEAT has to do something and do something quickly.
Grenada's Information Minister Jocelyn Whiteman speaking from London earlier today. The legendary cricketer Sir Garfield Sobers is in London to help promote Barbadian tourism at the travel market. But the conversation inevitably turned to cricket when Sir Gary stepped into the BBC studios. He was asked why West Indies cricket is in the sad state it's in today and the appeal of sports like basketball.
But what is happening in the West Indies is that the other sports have also improved. Now in basketball we have an indoor center where people can go and play basketball. Basketball, you can get a scholarship in the States. But when you hear this thing about fellas are taking up basketball and they're going to the States and away with that, it's ridiculous because there's so many college teams in America that boys cannot make the NBA. How can Barbadians ever think that they are going to get to that standard where they're going to be able to go to the States and get in a basketball team? I think what has happened to West Indies cricket over the last 7 years is that we have refused to build. And we kept playing players who weren't good enough to play. And for some unknown reason, we keep playing them all the time instead of bringing in youngsters. And we've left it too late.
Sir Garfield Sobers in London. And a look again at our top story. Much of the northeastern Caribbean is braced against the 150-mile-an-hour winds and torrential rain headed their way with Hurricane Lenny. The U.S. Virgin Islands is expected to take a direct hit later today. Well, that's it for BBC Caribbean Report. Join us at 11:05, 11:15 and 12:10 GMT for our next morning programs. I'm Jessica Robertson saying goodbye from London.